This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. There are a variety of medical centers around the country that get a lot of national and international press for the cutting-edge work they do. Cornell Medical Center in New York, Minnesota's Mayo Clinic, and research centers in Boston, Los Angeles, and elsewhere. But increasingly important work is being done in places like Milwaukee.
Reporter Rich Revito investigated a variety of physicians and medical centers doing life-saving or just life-improving work around the Milwaukee region. His article on several of these efforts is in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine, and he's with us to share what he learned. Hi, Rich. Nice to see you.
Great to be here, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
So this story is eight stories in one. I'm curious the approach that you took when you got the assignment. How did you go looking for these stories? And really specifically, what were you kind of looking for?
It was really up in the air as to what I was looking for. I just know from folks that have worked in the medical field here in Milwaukee that there's some pretty amazing things going on. I knew some of these things, but a lot of it involved contacting people at each of the hospital systems in Milwaukee, the Blood Center of Wisconsin, just to see what they're up to lately. And again, I knew there were some wonderful things going on. I didn't realize that there was this much going on. And you know, you think of Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, places like that when you talk about innovation in medical procedures and all that. There's some good stuff going on here, too. It's pretty amazing.
Right. It seems to paint a picture of a city that, you know, if you were unfortunately confronting a vexing condition or disease, there would be some hope that there might be some place to turn in this city.
Absolutely. And, I I've had friends that have battled some awful diseases over the years as well. And part of the good thing about living in the Milwaukee area is that you don't have to travel hours away to get these types of treatments. They're right here in our own backyard, which makes it good.
The thing that really struck me as I was reading these is that you actually lead off, not strictly speaking, with a technological achievement, but an achievement in collaboration.
Yeah, I found really, really interesting. There's at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, they do this. There's this rare and complex birth defect called bladder extrophy, where the pelvic organs herniate outside of the pelvis when a child is born. And Children's Hospital of Wisconsin has teamed up with Children's Hospitals in Boston and Philadelphia that every time that there's a surgery of this type, doctors from those three hospitals get together. They aren't doing them on their own. They're doing them together every single time. And it's really Dr. John Krieger from Children's Hospital of Wisconsin is one of the leaders in this. As he put it, you don't find this kind of collaboration because a lot of times doctors have really big egos, and this is not something they don't want to collaborate. And then you're talking about the distance between these three medical facilities as well. They have had tremendous success in this, and looking at this and talking to some of the doctors involved, they feel like there's an ability to do this in other areas besides in urological issues for children. And I would have to agree with that. If they could do it for this, you think there'd be other avenues where they could go. But and Milwaukee was at the forefront of this as well. Krieger's predecessor, Dr. Michael Mitchell, pioneered the contemporary bladder extrophy surgery. It used to be done in stages. The child would be born with this birth defect and then would have to go through these multiple surgeries in early life, which was very, you know, it could be catastrophic at times. And Mitchell pioneered this surgery where they did everything at one time. And although he's technically retired, when this group gets together, Mitchell's there as a coach for the surgeons that are doing the bladder extrophy surgery.
It's silly not to take advantage of this resource still in the community, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
The other trend that reading all of these articles seems to bring to the fore is that there are people in the area, people and institutions in the area that are kind of trying to push the envelope in a couple of ways. And I'm thinking, for example, this doctor in the Elmbrook Hospital who's working in the field that a lot of people deal with, of acid reflux.
Yes, again, another one. I've battled that over the years myself.
Anyone in journalism, I
yes,
think.
Yes, indeed. A lot of high-pressure days at long nights. Dr. Manfred Chang at Ascension, Wisconsin, has been performing this innovative non-surgical procedure to treat gastroesophageal reflux disorder, commonly known as GERD. He's been doing it for quite a while and kind of under the radar. This procedure involves no cuts in the abdomen, and it can be done on an outpatient basis.
And he goes through the mouth, is that right?
Yes. Yep. And it's you know, some of these surgeries are so radical where that you can't even burp after drinking a soda. It's like it's really kind of the post-surgical conditions are kind of traumatic. This still allows a two-way exchange in the esophagus, It's an important procedure because there have been studies in recent years about the use of long-term use of proton pump inhibitors as eliciting concerns about their long-term use, with more and more doctors trying to shy away from prescribing these types of medication like Nexium and that for long periods of time.
Right, and the non-surgical method involves kind of moving around parts of your digestive system, right?
Yes, indeed. It's not complicated. It just doesn't involve incisions and deep surgical procedures here.
Yeah. Another area where there's some, I don't know if this is envelope pushing going on, but it certainly jumped out at me as something that, you know, just a few years ago, what we would think of as a mainstream Western medical practitioner might not have considered, and that's the use of lavender in neurosurgery.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing. I mean, you think about aromatherapy, you think of day-long spa treatments, right, and things like that, and people using essential oils in their homes. This is pretty radical. There's a surgeon at Aurora Healthcare, Dr. Richard Roven. He's a neurosurgeon there that's been using, as part of a clinical trial, essential oils, using lavender to help relax patients who are undergoing brain surgery while they're awake. That part alone made me shudder a little bit, that people are undergoing brain tumor removals while they're awake. But apparently this makes the surgery much safer. There's able to be communication between the surgeon and the patient. And they've done it with great success. During the procedure, every 30 minutes or so, the patient is offered lavender via an inhaler, if they so desire. They've had success in the past with lavender being used to treat anxiety, depression, used for grief. It's even been used for sleep problems. But now it's moved on to brain surgery.
Interesting. And you mentioned the Blood Center of Wisconsin a few minutes ago. What's going on that's especially innovative there that you write about?
Well, about a decade ago, a gentleman by the name of Greg Denemy arrived in Milwaukee from Canada to lead a program to find people with precious rare blood types. And he used a mass scale genotyping of the regular donors to the Blood Center. And that had never been done before. And within 6 months, the Blood Center had typed some 25,000 donors. I think most of us know the eight basic blood types. You've got A, A, B, B, and O, all of which can either be positive or negative. But this was eye-opening to me. There are about 350 antigens that you could be rare for one of these antigens. So there's essentially more than 350 blood types that you're dealing with. I had a chance to speak with a Milwaukee resident by the name of Mario Higgins, who began donating blood as a teenager. He's now 50 years old and has donated most of his life. He has a rare blood type. Didn't know that until they did this screening. He's O positive, but he's missing a protein in his blood, and something that affects African Americans and people from the Caribbean and Asia. They think it might have been that it developed as a way to fight off malaria. So if someone's in need of that same rare blood type that he has, he's able to be called upon to provide that specific type of blood to a patient that needs it for surgery or somebody going through a transfusion. It's much, much safer. It can be fatal to get a transfusion of blood that doesn't match your type of blood.
And you actually spoke with someone who was in need of that kind of blood as well.
Yes, indeed. And she said that, she was able to donate some of her own blood for her surgical procedure or for her treatment. She's going through a battle with cancer, but much so important to have the exact type of blood that she needs. And the blood center has been able to do this, not just here in Wisconsin, but Mario told me that his blood is shipped out all over the country and sometimes in other parts of North America as well.
So we've had a chance to talk about roughly half of the stories you covered as part of this feature. And I imagine the stories that you covered really are only the tip of the iceberg in terms of, you know, the kinds of innovative things that are going on around the medical community here.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking everything from using stem cell therapy to treat joint issues. I found that really interesting. There's some technological things. There's an orthopedic surgeon that's using an innovative technology that pairs surgeons with an advanced computer system to improve the accuracy of placing a shoulder replacement. I guess with the musculature structure, it's sometimes hard to see exactly where this is being placed. And, in long-term success with joint replacements, you need that exact placement. And also just some immunotherapy that's being used at Frederick in the medical college. There's a gentleman there, a gentleman by the name of Brett Carroll that lives in the Fox Valley that was a very near death when he went through an immunotherapy treatment at Frederick in the medical college. And this happened in October of 2017. He was cancer-free within a month or so. And here we are in November of 2018, and he is still in full remission over a year later. So some really, really amazing things going on.
It had to be pretty encouraging from a reporter standpoint.
It really was. I mean, this was a broad-based project that we worked on, and I'm sure there are a ton more great stories out there that I didn't even come close to touching on.
Rich, thanks for sharing them with us.
Absolutely, Mitch. Thank you.
Rich Rivita's article on Milwaukee medical advances is in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine. You'll find a link for more at wuwm.com.